Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see this number out this morning, and that's the one in whom I'm in need of this morning. I think you would agree also. Just what a privilege it is to be here. Been thinking about that a lot this morning. Just many places I could be or places I wouldn't want to be, but I get to be here, get to be here with you and see, and I thank God for that. I really do. If you will, let's be turned to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, go look at verses 10 through 18. The Lord laid this scripture on my heart on Friday morning, and I didn't really know, sometimes don't really understand maybe why certain things come to our heart when they do or how they do, but just maybe speaking a little bit with folks throughout the week, messaging back and forth, it kind of came to my heart, and then after some of the events, I guess it was Friday night, some of the things we saw there kind of really solidified why the Lord, I think, maybe was preparing me for this. You see things sometimes that really, really just point blank make you mad, make you want to fight. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some things, a preacher, you're not supposed to be a striker. I know that. I understand that. I'm going somewhere with this morning, but you know, as a child of God, we see things that bother us. We go through things that bother us, and you know, the Bible refers to us, many in the church or Christians refers to us as soldiers. And you think, well, what do? Soldiers are supposed to fight, right? It's kind of what you think. You think about our freedoms that we have and thank God for all of our soldiers and people who are willing to stand up for right and for truth. But you know, this battle is the Lord's. We need to remember that. Don't ever lose sight of that. That's something that it's easy. We might think we're going to go solo and do something on our own, but we truly can't, and we truly don't need to. And if we are really relying on God's power, then there's no need for us to do that. We'll see that this morning. But if you're already reading a little bit through these verses here, you're probably thinking, I've read this, I've heard this, I could probably preach this or teach this myself. Probably. You should be able to. We all should be able to. But I thought about it this Friday morning. It's like, Lord, you've laid this on my heart, but people have heard this. People probably know this about by memory in some form or fashion. Maybe have some kind of idea about it, and I'm not trying to preach what you'd say a new thing or anything like that at all, but how many of you have a favorite meal? Anybody? I mean, it's all right. Again, we're Baptists, remember? Amen. Most people have a favorite meal. Sometimes you just crave it and you want it. How do you know it's your favorite meal? Have you had it before? A few times? That's why it's your favorite meal. You know what it tastes like. You know it's good. You know what it's like. Me and Brandy went out to eat yesterday, and just the two of us, and it was something. It's a meal we'd had before, and I wouldn't say it's our favorite meal, but it just tasted so good. It's just it's a burger and fries, but it just tasted so good. Like, I don't know what it is, but it just tastes really good this time. Something we've had before. And that's the way it is sometimes with God's Word. It's not that that we've learned it one time and we know it all. It might be that we've had it before, and I'm not even saying this is my favorite Scripture, but it's good Scripture. Scripture we all should know. It's something that should help us, will help us, and nourish us up. But when you see things that really get under your skin, I think that the idea, we talk about standing a whole lot. It's amazing. I'm telling you, church, the Lord laid this on my heart Friday morning, and I thought, well, it's always a good message to talk about standing. It's always good to talk about that, but I think that means different things to different people. I think sometimes you say, you know, you take a stand for something, it means you're going to go, and you're going to go out, and you're going to pick up whatever weapon it is, and you're going to go fight a battle. But again, it's not our battle to fight. What would you do this morning? Some of the things we saw, the mockery. Let's just go ahead and get that out of the way, the mockery that we saw. If you saw that this week, what would you do? If you were there, what would you do? What would you do? I'd probably just leave, not expecting that. But if you can really understand and see the wickedness that is taking place on this earth, it's not just a group of people who are just wanting to be accepted for who they are or what have you. It's blasphemy and it's mockery against God's Word. That's all it is. It's all right to say amen right there. Let's take a stand against it, amen? It's wrong. You see how the Lord set up His creation. He set it up to be a certain way. And you see how the devil is trying to tear it down one person at a time. If you can get the creation to act contrary to the Creator, is that not what you would count as a win? God the Creator, He spoke this world into existence to be a certain way, and you see how it is being attacked, and primarily being attacked through people, through the influences. We're going to see that this morning, and I think you probably already know and understand a great deal about how it works, but I want our young people to grasp this. I want you to take this, and I want you to be encouraged about it. I want you to understand what it means to take a stand. Have you ever looked up that word stand in the dictionary? I do that a lot. You know that. That's been done for here for years, looking up words in the dictionary and seeing what it means. And the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, looking up words. And you know what's interesting about this word stand? There's 67 different definitions for the word stand. Isn't that something? I don't know that I've ever seen another word have that many definitions behind it, different meanings. And a lot of times it does kind of go hand in hand together, but I thought that was very interesting because I believe standing can mean a lot to different people. But that's not the title this morning. But if you will, stand with me. I don't think we can sit through the reading of this morning. Just stand with me, if you will. We're going to read these verses. We're going to jump right into it. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, and the wickedness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, I thank you for your truth, the truth, God, and that you've given it to us, that we can know the truth regardless what anybody says, regardless what the world does, what people do contrary to your truth, God, that we know what the truth is. If we'll take time to spend time in your word and to study it and to know it and to understand it, how you reveal it to us, God, and how you encourage us with it, how you gave it to us as a defense. A guidebook how to live in this world, Lord. I just thank you so much for that. Without your truth, what would we have? How would we stand? What stand would we take? How could we do anything, God? How can we do anything at all without you? God, I thank you so much for my church, everyone that's here. God, I just thank you so much for them. What a blessing it is to see them from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday, week to week, God, and just be able to worship together and be together, God. And God, I just pray that you help us, strengthen us, help us to stand united, Lord, in things that come our way, different battles that we face, personal battles and big battles, God, that we see all through life, God. But I'm so thankful that you're the captain, Lord. You're the captain of the Lord's host. You're the captain of this army. We're here to follow you, God, to be in submission to you, to trust you. And God, I thank you for this armor that we're getting ready to preach and talk about here this morning. God, I just thank you so much for that. We're not defenseless, Lord, and I just thank you so much for making that plain to us, God. Help us here today. Be with those, Lord, in whatever battle they're facing, those that are lost, whatever folks are facing today. God, I pray this be an encouragement to them. God, lift them up. God, encourage them, Lord, with your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You might be seated. Amen. I do. I thank God for His Word and the commonality of this scripture here. I'm so thankful for it. We see things here. We see and understand how the battle is and how it's laid out. We see three things this morning, although going to mention several different things, but we see three things. We see the foe, we see the fight, and we see the fit. That's something that we need to realize and understand, is that this battle is not our battle to fight. It's in the Lord's might that we're fighting, and in the Lord's might that we can do anything, that we live and move and have our being. We can't proclaim anything in and of ourselves. You know, I think about different events, political events, and just things that you see that just pop up, and it's just like, why in the world does that even have a place in the Olympics or what have you? Why? Why do that? You just see how the world is turning, but we don't have to turn with it. So that's what making a stand is all about. And this morning, you're going to see the armor, the whole armor of God is what we're talking about, but it's all of it. That's the title this morning, is all of it. He doesn't just give us one thing to use and just like try to figure this out. He gives us several things to pull from, and I like that. I like being protected in different ways, and we need that this morning. You got to understand the adversary that we're fighting. You see here verses 10 through 12, you see the foe and you see the fight. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's talking about his power. And by the time we get through the end of this message, you'll probably see a soldier that is ready for battle. But you know what he's asked to do? What he's commanded to do? Stand. Isn't that something? Think about that, Brother Allen. You know, when you have a group of people getting ready, I remember being in law enforcement. It was not in the military, but to a degree, I remember going out on high pressure, high stress calls, and people say we've got somebody barricaded in and they're shooting out the windows at us. Make sure you got your vest on. Make sure you got your helmet on. Make sure you got these things with you. This one's a real one. This one's a serious situation. It's not something just where maybe a kitten is stuck in a tree. Somebody could die, and somebody probably already has died. It's serious business. And when you get around a group of people like that, and you're going into battle, they're ready to do something. They want to do something. I'll tell you, you get all suited up, you don't want to just stand there. That's just not how it is. But you see how this is laid out here. At what point does God's word teach the soldier here to advance into battle? It says, stand. Isn't that something? Stand. Stand. Don't go pick a fight with somebody. Don't get in altercations with anybody. He's saying, you get suited up with what I have for you, and you stand there. Isn't that something? Sounds like the Lord's got this thing under control, Brother Tim. Front and back, back and front. I think he's got this thing under control. I tell you this, thank God it's not depending on me to make it happen. Thank God it's not depending on our politicians to make this happen. Be in a world of mess, wouldn't we? You imagine what that's like, but you see how the foe here, he gives us some inclination about who we're fighting here. Verse number 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. He's saying all of it, because you're going to need it. You're going to need all of it. You don't want to leave anything out. You want to be fully covered. You want to be fully prepared that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. The wiles. W-I-L-E-L. It's not wilds, but wiles of the devil. That's tricks and stratagem. You know, I slowed down and I looked at that and I thought a little bit about what that means. You know, every person in here has little gaps in your armor if you want to have it or not. People here have different things that they're susceptible to, if you want to or not. You might be trying to quit smoking. You might not. Might be fighting with alcoholism. You might be fighting with different things. But you know what the wiles of the devil does? It focuses on those very things. It focuses on those things. It's a scary thought. You ever think that the devil, or maybe his demons, you ever think that he might be studying you? You ever think about that? I've been watching a lot of football this week. You know, it's about that time. Been watching a lot of college football replays of games. And you know what they talk about? This week's matchup. Coaches, that's what they'll do. They watch tons and tons of video. They want to see how this team is going to play and who their star is going to be and how they're going to make the most out of what they got. And they use that. That's their strategy. We're going to use what we got. And if maybe they can't see this coming, we'll use a little trickery too. Well, you know, the devil, he sees how you live your life. He watches you daily. He watches you. He knows if there's something that might trick you up, and that's the one thing he's going to do. That's how he works. That's his wiles. You say, well, what can I do with that? If you know what your weaknesses are, that's maybe what you need to focus on too and say, Lord, I need to surrender my weaknesses to you so I don't fall for the wiles of the devil. So that's the first place you start. You start watching this. He's watching you. I want you to know this. When the Lord starts dealing with you, let's switch gears a little bit. When the Lord is really dealing with you about something, it is an awkward feeling. Well, it is for me. And what I mean by that, you can tell when the Lord is moving in your life because things start shifting around in a pattern or in a pace or something that it just don't feel right. It feels different. It feels awkward. When God himself lays his hands on you for a purpose, it's going to feel weird and it's going to feel awkward. And the one thing you need to do is look up and say, Lord, what do you want from me? Lord, why are we doing this? Not that you're questioning God in a negative manner, but you're saying, Lord, okay, I feel your presence and I don't want to push back. But Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to do? He wants your submission. He wants your surrender. He wants you to be ready and prepared. He wants you listening to him. As awkward as it is, when the devil gets you in his sights or he's messing with you, he's trying to see what he can do or how he can attack you, I tell you, don't lose sight of if the Lord's trying to work in your life also. You know, sometimes when awkward things happen, it's the Lord, we say it like this, trying to get our attention. You see something happen to somebody. Job's friends, when they saw something happen to him, oh, the Lord's trying to get his attention. Well, maybe the Lord's talking to him, reverting him back to him. You don't know how much you need the Lord until you need him. You just don't know. You don't appreciate that until you don't fully see any other way. But you see here, this is the fight. That's why it takes the whole armor of God. That's why you need this, to fight the wiles of the devil. He has his ways of doing things to try to trick us up. If you've been a Christian any amount of time or at all, you've probably faced this. You want to be the most you can be for God. You want to live for him, but you feel like you fall for the same tricks over and over. It's because he's throwing the same tricks at you over and over. He knows what works. Now, if you really want to get into what I'd call a battle, and it's a spiritual battle, not a hand-to-hand combat kind of battle. It's not like that. But you really try to start aligning your life with God's word, and things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. The Lord's going to move in your life. The devil's going to try to counteract that, and things are going to happen. I tell you this not to scare you. I want you to be prepared. It's not a bad thing if the Lord is laying his hand on your life. He's wanting you to do something for him. He's preparing you. It's an awkward feeling. First time, you've accepted the Lord, but the Lord's trying to move your heart and trying to teach you and train you and move you to do something, it's probably going to feel very awkward. Lord, what is this? Why is this? But the Lord will never tempt you to do anything wrong. You know, it's never, let me see if I can say this right and come out right. It's never right to do wrong. Would you agree with that? It's never right to do the wrong thing. God doesn't lead you to do wrong. God doesn't lead you to sin. I say that, and I know this might seem frivolous in the big part of things, but we get mad and we're human, and I've seen people posting things, saying things, hateful things, cussing and counteraction of what is taking place. And that's just as wrong as what took place. That's sinful. Sin is sin. You don't counteract sin with sin. You counteract it with righteousness. Godly righteousness, godly fear, godly love. That's what we counteract with. You know, we're not the judge. We're not the judge, but we're to take a stand. But you see how this fight is in verse number 12. You got to know this. You see things, I see things, upsets me. How can a person be so deceived? How can a person be so blasphemous? How can a person be so wicked? How could they be? Where would you be if it wasn't for the grace of God and knowing his word? Right there with them. Amen. Right there with them. No better. Better off because we have the truth. I want to say this right here too. Before you can rightfully hate somebody else's sin, you better hate your sin first. Think about that. Boy, it's so easy to kind of look at somebody else and kind of get hateful and mad at a condition of a person's life and maybe try to justify the sin that's in your life. You're not going to get where you want to go until you get rid of that sin. I'm telling you, we'll see that here. Our hearts need to be clean and they need to be pure. Our side, you think about God, we see things across the aisle. God looks down and he sees all, everything. He sees it all and he knows it all. And he gives us some explanation here. Paul in Ephesians, he gives us some explanation here in verse number 12 about who this fight is against and how this fight is. And it's talking a little bit about wrestling and how this battle works. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see, it's that tangible part of being a human. We see what we see and it makes us mad and we want to fight that. You see the sadness and the perversion in people's lives and people trying to make it all right. That's why they mingle kids in there. Try to mingle kids in with it. Say, oh, that's a child and all this and that's just how they are. No, that's in contradiction to God's creation. That's not how they are. That's not how God created them. God did not create anybody to be contrary to his word. Look it up in his word and see if you can find that. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not against the flesh that we see, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I tell you, I think you can see that on a national level. I think you can see that in politics clearly. I'll say politics, not just American politics, but worldwide politics. I believe you can see that. You know, I think in this country, I've heard it on both sides of the aisle, how people are very fed up with politics and how our government's being ran. But if you look at it at a national level, the whole world is saying that also. Everybody's fed up. They're looking for the best person they can have. They're looking for the one that's going to fix everything. I'm telling you, as this moves forward, when the Antichrist fully steps into place, it's going to be an easy choice for people. They're going to say, that's the one. That's the one. If the church was here, they'd have a hard time not going along with that. I'm telling you, they're going to say, that's the one. You imagine not having a left and a right and having everybody saying, this is the one. The one's going to make everybody happy. That's a smooth-talking individual that can make everybody happy. I've never tried that on a national level, but I have tried it on a Watauga County level, Brother Jacob. I have tried it here on the school board, and it didn't work. 50% of the county is going to be mad at you one way or the other. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. That's how it works. Put yourself out there, put yourself in the middle, and you can see and kind of how it is, but you imagine being able to make everybody happy with just the words of your mouth. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. That's those powers that are being talked about here, spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a very scary thing to think about. You and I can't go into battle against that. We're not equipped just as people to do that. This is spiritual wickedness. It's a high fight that is being talked about here, and it's a struggle, it's a contention, it's striving. And I think you can see that in our nation today. You can see it in our world today. And it just keeps getting worse. It keeps growing and growing and it keeps getting worse. But you see here, it gets better. The Lord gives us some things here in his word. The actual fit, what a Christian soldier is supposed to look like. He gives us things. We see things that bother us and there's little things that probably ride on our mind through the week. And the next thing you know, our joy is lost. Are you happy this morning? Are you joyful? Are you as excited and thankful for your salvation this morning as you've ever been? Or has there been some things in your life this past few weeks that just kind of get in there and rob that glory from you? Have you ever felt like that? I let little things rob me sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't take much. What I've found in my life is it's usually just not that one punch to the mouth that gets me. It's those little jabs throughout the week. And by the time you get to Saturday, it's my goodness. My goodness, what a week it's been. What a battle it's been. These little jabs from time to time. You know why? Because the wiles of the devil have been out there. Working on you, working on us. But what he's saying here, the Bible's teaching us, verse 13, that we actually have an armor that we can put on. We have protection that we can put on. One thing I think about this protection is that it helps us to be able to see and remember who is in charge. Not that he's expecting us to go out and fight the battle for him, but he's saying, if you'll put these things in mind, you'll remember who's in charge of this army. You'll remember who's leading this thing. You'll remember. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, if you've done everything you can do, he's saying, just stand. That's hard to do for some people, Brother Curtis. It's hard. Get all suited up, and now we're just going to stand here and wait to see what happens. That's hard for some people. But when you see the Lord start moving, it's going to be a miraculous and marvelous thing to see. It's not going to be boring, let me tell you. Having done all to stand, you just stand. Neat word there. Again, 67 definitions, but I'm going to read just a couple. It says, upon the feet, stand upon the feet, upon its foundation. To have a certain position or a certain direction. The Lord has given us a direction. If you want to see something fold down in a business or whatever it is, you cut off communication and you cut off direction. And people don't know where they're going. Where are we going? We don't know where we're going. What's the vision? Where there is no vision, the people perish. They don't know where to go. You see, if we all line up with God's word, he's saying, this is where we go. Line up with me. He's lining us all up with him. It's not that we are trying to get God on our side. He's trying to get us on his side, in his army. And he's telling us how to do that. And having done all to stand, you just stand in him and you trust in him. And it says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Loins, that's the strongest part of a person. It's the part here on a person, about the lower rib down to the above the knee. That's the strongest part of the person. You probably heard this, and I know coaches heard it. Don't skip leg day. Amen. Some people, I tell you, one of the things I hated to do most was squats, but every coach I ever had said, did you do squats? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Well, you need to. That's where your strength comes from. And you see what your loins are girt about with. It's talked about here. It's saying that your loins are girt about with truth. Truth is what holds this whole thing together. Did you know that? Truth is what holds this together. What's under attack more than anything? Truth. That's a stratagem. That's a wile of the devil. That's why he's doing that. If people don't know what to believe, if our young people don't know what to believe, I didn't grow up watching this mess on TV. I see it now. This is what they're growing up seeing. Not careful, that's going to be who is reading to them one day as a child. And see, that's all they know, and it's ingrained in their memory. You got to be able to stand against that, be able to tell them what the truth is and why it's wrong, how it's against God and why it's against God. But again, talking about truth. Truth, that's the conformity of fact or reality. That's what reality is. This world don't even know what reality is anymore. No clue. But thankfully, God's word has full of truth. It is the truth. It's the true state of facts and what holds it all together. If you want to know what the truth is, if you feel like you're trying to figure things out, get back in God's word and follow it. It'll lead you back to truth. It'll lead you in truth. And having the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. That's the breastplate here, but righteousness. That's the purity of heart. That's the cleanness. Freedom from dirt, that's having a clean heart. I don't want to run through things too quick, but I'll tell you, there's things that can defile our hearts, that cripple us. If the heart on the inside is defiled, putting on an armor over it is not going to do anything but hold it in there. You hear what I'm saying? The Lord works from the inside out. If there's something in your heart that doesn't need to be there, you need to get it out. Covering it up with something else is not going to fix it. You've got to get it out. You've got to have a pure heart. If you've got a pure motive, you don't have to go around trying to defend yourself and justify yourself all the time. If you have a pure heart, it's the truth. Stand up for what's right. Purity of heart needs to be protected. We see here also after that, you see having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the number one thing that I see that we as the church, we as Christians need to do, is simply share the gospel. When you see hateful wickedness, share the gospel. I'm going to tell you this, and I mean this with all my heart. Anything that you can do face to face, anything you can do on the internet, if you go in there with a hammer and you're going to bust somebody over the head and you're going to bust them over the head with the love of God, you're going to lose. It don't work that way. I'll say this, you can't live like a wicked Christian throughout the week and then think you're going to come in and try to change somebody's life. Just by telling them something that you know is right, if you're not living it, they ain't going to work either. They need to see it. It has to be done out of love. When the Lord was convicting your heart, if you're here and you're saved and He convicted your heart, did He bust you over the head with a hammer, or did He talk softly to your heart? Do you say, "You need me"? You need me. How did the Lord deal with you? I remember the conviction, but it was sweet. It was a still, small voice. It's how the Lord deals with us. It's how He works with us. Preparation of the gospel, being prepared to share the gospel. How often have you shared the gospel? I won't even give you a time frame, but in your lifetime, how often have you shared the gospel with somebody? Romans chapter number 10, 15, it says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." It keeps talking about this phrase, the gospel of peace. Not even fighting, it's the gospel of peace. I know in human nature, not all Christians get along, and I get that, I understand that, but you imagine if people start accepting Christ, how the world would change. That's what it's about. Being prepared, the preparation, being prepared to leave the gospel, the good news, and peace. Peace is salvation. That means being saved. That means being preserved is what He's talking about. The gospel of preservation. How beautiful that is. It's offered to everybody. Verse number 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." The shield of faith. So you have another piece of armor. Shield. I think everybody understands what a shield is. Shield, something you would hold. It's able to quench the fiery darts. But now, if somebody was hurling something at you, if somebody was shooting arrows at you, would you want a thick or a thin shield? Brother Norman, would you want as thick as you get or just a little old thin thing? I want it thick, wouldn't you? I mean, if somebody's really coming at me with some high-powered things, if the devil's coming at me with a lot of little fiery darts, how would I want that to be thick, wouldn't you? A thick shield. As thick as it could be, Sister Chelsea, I want it to be thick. So we couldn't pierce through it. That's what I would want. Well, what's the shield made out of? What's it made out of? Armor? Wood? What's it? Titanium? Carbon fiber? What's it made out of? Faith. Is that not a weird substance for a shield to be made out of, Brother Dan? Isn't that something else? Well, who makes that? Who decides the thickness of that shield? Is that God? God, we're going to put that on you too. God, we're going to put that on you. Who decides the thickness of your shield that you're carrying? Who decides? I didn't even think about this, Brother Norman, until this morning. The Lord gave that to me. Who decides? I decide the thickness of my shield. Did you know that? You do too. If you want a thick shield, you can have one. But you're going to have to look opposition in the face, and you're going to have to look in the Lord's face, Brother Kirk, and say, "Lord, I trust you more. I know these darts are flying, and these darts are hurting, and this is a troublesome time, but guess what? I trust you more." You know what happens? When you do something like that, when you put that faith in God, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Guess what? Your shield gets a little bit thicker. Ain't that something, Brother Steve? A little bit thicker. And the more faith and the more confidence you get in Him, guess what? The more buffer you have. Now, whose decision is that? Whose choice is that? We pray for things a lot of times that the Lord says, "I've already given it to you. I've already given it to you. You just have to claim it." Think about the shield of faith. I never even thought about it or saw it that way. But it says, above all, above these other things that I've already given to you, put on the shield of faith. Trust me. Just believe me. All these things that I've told you, my word, just take it and know it that it's truth. Even if it doesn't matter what you see, know what you see and you've studied in my word. And that will increase your shield. That'll make your shield thicker. It'll give you the ability to withstand, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. When they're throwing darts at you in the workplace, the school place, or wherever place it is that you are, your faith in the Lord is your defense against that. It's what the Word of God teaches us right here. Verse 17, it says, take on the helmet of salvation. Now, I thought about that a whole bunch. The helmet of salvation. Why would you have a helmet of salvation? Why not the breastplate of salvation? I've thought about that several times. When I come down here and I read this, it's like I pause, and finally I said, I'm not going to go past this one until I really figure this out for myself in my heart. Why would you have a helmet of salvation? Why not a breastplate of salvation to protect your heart? Why not? It's your heart that's saved, right? Not your head, right? Head knowledge is one thing, but heart knowledge is how you accept Christ, right? With the heart man believeth is what the Bible says. With the mouth man confesseth, but with the heart man believeth. Again, there in Romans chapter number 10. I believe here it's talking about the helmet. It's the armor for the head. I believe it's talking about protection against worry. So here's the thing. I want you to know something about salvation. Salvation, again, means preservation. It's not the heart that needs reminding about your salvation, it's your head. Because if your heart has accepted Jesus Christ, it's secured. It don't need that protection. It's already protected. Look at this verse here, John 10:28. It says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, read that slower. And I give unto them eternal life. That's enough. But look what it says. If you don't have this in your Bible circled, please circle it. Maybe you do. And they shall never perish. If you're going into a battle, and you're arrayed, and you're ready to go into battle, and you're going into war, what's your number one fear? What's your number one fear? I'm going to die. I'm going to perish. I'm not going to make it through the battle. But guess what? If you're His, you'll never perish. You ever think about that? You say, well, one day I'm going to lay this body down. Yes, but that soul is never going to perish. Never. If you've accepted Christ. Where you spend eternity, the importance of this. See, the Lord gives us all this armor, but how often do we take advantage of it? It's our head that needs reminding sometime about our status and our status with the Lord and our state with Him. And how He's made everything to be. If you were going into a battle and you knew you couldn't lose, wouldn't you be a little bit more excited? I am. The Lord's never lost, and He's never going to. You think about a battle going into Him, that's why it's important to get behind Him in this battle, not to think that we are to do anything. You're going to see here, I hurry along, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. This is the one offensive weapon that you'll see in all this armor and all this equipment that you have. You'll see here, this is the one offensive thing. This is where you can do this on your own. You're not waiting for somebody to bring the battle to you. You've got it right here in front of you. When the devil comes along and he starts trying to hurt you and say, hey, but the Word of God says this. This is what the Bible says. What did Jesus use when He was tempted of Satan? What did He use? Every time the devil came at Him, what did He respond with? The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. If it's good enough for Him, I promise you it's good enough for us. It'll work for us too. Being a lesser in the creation, it'll still work for us too. That's what He has given to us. It's an offensive weapon. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. You know, that's like it was said this morning, Brother Raymond. That's why when you read things different times in life, the context never changes, but you'll learn something more as you get older. There's times I've read things. I remember when I first started preaching, I'd read something, I'd preach something. Later on in life, I thought, man, I'd have preached that different if I'd have known this. If I'd have had this understanding, if I'd have seen this, if I'd have known this, I would have this. You see, there's so much to pull from, for the Word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. That word discerner, that means one who sees. When you read the Word of God and you're taking it serious, it's reading your heart. It's looking at you. A minute ago, we were talking about how the devil and his wiles and how he's looking at you and his stratagem and how he's looking at things at you. You know, when you study God's Word, it's looking right at you. It's looking into your heart. It's trying to teach you, trying to train you to steer you in certain ways. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow and discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And the last thing here, number 7, I'm going to close with this. 18, it says here, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watch it there and too, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He's talking about praying, having the time, communicating with the Lord. There's something, every time I think about communication, and there's one thing that comes to my mind, and this is several years ago, working in law enforcement, that was one thing that was interesting to me. They were talking about budgets. That's always the big talk, is budget. What can we afford to do? We want all the things we need to be safe, and all the things we need to learn, all these kind of things. Well, it come down this small police department. They had a choice to make. They either bought new guns for all their officers, or they bought new radios. Two-way radios. And this department, they said, as much as we would like to have new guns, we would like to have better communication. And they went with radios. I thought, man, ain't that so? Out in the field, I'm like, man, I want a new gun. Radio's all right, man, I like a new gun. If you've ever been in law enforcement, or if you've ever been in the military, a new gun's something, that's something special. But you know their argument about that, or what they said about that is, yes, it would be nice to have that, but the guns we have, the armor that we have in the field is working, but you know what they need more than anything? Being able to reach out for help when they need it. That's the most important thing. You see, that's the way I see it in our lives as Christians. Sometimes we feel just kind of outnumbered and off to ourselves, and you see things and you feel just kind of, again, outnumbered and outmanned and what have you. But guess what? You can call for help. You know that? You know what the army's... And when Elisha, isn't that what he did? I'm going to paraphrase it. I don't even remember exactly where it's at, but isn't what Elisha did when he was backed up and he was discouraged? He was, maybe it was Elijah. He was hiding out. They was after him, wanted to kill him, and they prayed, and he said, Lord, please let him see the help that he has. And all of a sudden, the hills opened up and the fire, and he could see everything on the hills. He saw the spiritual help that he had. That's your communication right there. We're not outmanned. We're not outnumbered. As bad as the world wants you to think that way or feel that way, again, it says pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Remember, this battle is his. We're just standing at the ready. That's what it's telling us to do, is to stand. It's his battle. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be armed. Now, you say, really, this is his battle? Well, what battle would we have outside the spiritual battle that we have? You think about what's going to take place. When the Lord comes back, he steps out on the clouds, he calls us home, we're in heaven with him. You got the tribulation period that's going to take place on this earth. Then after that time, you're going to have the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign, we come back with him. And you know how that works? We're not out there with guns, we're not out there with bows, we're not out there with swords, all this kind of stuff. It's the sword of his mouth. That he's going to win that battle. He's going to win that war. Isn't that something? We just to be standing at the ready. We need to be suited up and ready for his return. I believe that's what this is talking about. This will help us in this day and time, but I believe the Lord is preparing us for what is to come. But if you will stand with me this morning, I'm going to close there. And I'd like to close in a different way. I'd like for Brother Nathan, if you would, to get us a song. No need for piano this morning, just a cappella, everybody, all of us singing together, but number 381. 381, if you will, this morning. If you need to come pray, we'll pray. Whatever it is you might need to do this morning, we'll take time and we'll do that.